Hello. Hi, Bessie. Can you hear me? Hi, Bessie. Can you hear me?
Hi there. What's up?
Hi.
Your sound cut out, I think. It's very. No, your sound is fucking up.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes.
You, how are you?
Am very good, thank you, and you?
Good. First of all, thank you so much for joining us.
Your sound is still messing up.
Hear me now? Is it better?
Yes.
Okay, so thank you so much for joining this space, Basio. How are you doing today?
Am fine, thank you very much.
Let's start with some introductions. So, as you know, my name is Kulsoom, and I'm a community manager at Social Sham. And I have my co-worker with me, Neha. And let's start with your introduction. So, tell us a bit about yourself. What do you do, and what industry would you say you represent?
Well, thank you. My name is Pashio. I wouldn't say I belong to any specific industry. I mean, I'm very Notion focused, have dabbled a bit in AI now as well, but I'm a jack of all trades, so I try to be in as many places as I can. And before we go on, I just thought, should we just take a minute to just quickly share the space across social so we can bring on as many people as possible?
Yep, definitely. My team is doing that already, but you can feel free
Nice.
to do it from your end as well.
I'm just doing it. I'm live now. Nice. Cool. All right. Yeah, for sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so as you mentioned that you are like all rounder and all kind of a person, so let's start with ChatGPT and AI. We all know that it's been the town of the talk, and now there is no escaping the integrations of AI tech into our daily lives. So what do you think of AI and how it's going to impact us in a longer run? Will it be a positive or a negative impact?
A great question. I love to talk about this. I think we can compare it quite a bit to the internet in the early 2000s. I was just a little baby at the time, but I know my parents talked about it a lot. The thing that the internet did in the early 2000s, I think resembles quite a bit what is happening with AI. I think we are at the beginning of something great that no one will be able to predict how it will end. So some people say that AI is going to take over the world and we're all going to die, and other people say, well, AI is going to kill industries. And I mean, with AI, I think it comes with as many benefits as it comes with cons.
Yeah. So do you think it will have an impact on employment or labor in future? Is it going to replace humans for sure? What do you think?
Of course, of course. I mean, just like the internet killed a bunch of manual industries, I think AI will do the same. I don't think it's gonna. So it's not that the job market is just gonna die and nobody's gonna have a job ever again. But I mean, some industries are at danger for sure.
Yeah, I mean, let's say copywriters. So AI, like we have human copywriters here who write wonderful copy, but that is gonna be changed by AI, right? ChatGPT is gonna take over.
Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, in copywriting, there is always a human aspect that you cannot replicate. But I think also in the future, as AI progresses and becomes more and more human-like, I mean, eventually, text-based stuff like content creation or ghostwriting or copywriting, I think eventually it'll get replaced by AI for sure.
Okay, that's wonderful. My colleague is going to ask you the next question. Neha, go ahead.
Yeah, Pasio, I'm really impressed with your answers, and you have talked about the ChatGPT, like how it's going to replace and how it's going to work with if you know, like TikTok, Twitter, sorry. So recently Twitter was occupied by Tesla CEO Elon Musk, and since it has fundamentally changed so many things, like changing verification and development by their API, and massive layoff has been done, like people are replaced with the technology. So what are your thoughts about that?
That's a very wide question, I think. I don't know how to answer that. I think in any endeavor, bringing in new blood that will help propel something forward is a good thing. I'm a big fan personally of what Elon Musk is doing in terms of free speech. Personally speaking, I'm a big opponent of limiting one side of the argument in whatever it is. So the fact that Elon Musk has gone to Twitter and brought back people and is making changes, I think that's a great thing for sure.
But how do you think the users of Twitter are going to migrate, or they're going to stay with that? Because every person have their own perspectives and they have their own APIs. So are they going to be with this, and or there will be any like alternates and people are going to migrate towards that?
Well, if I had a crystal ball I could look into, I could give you an answer, but I don't know. I don't know if people are going to migrate. I think what Twitter has, the platform that Twitter has, is essentially very unique. I know there's been a lot of talks of making it a long form platform. So, for example, cutting Twitter threads and just making essays and shit. And obviously, that will drive some people away, but I don't think Twitter is going anywhere. No.
And what are your thoughts about like Twitter verification? Think about that.
You just cut out. I didn't hear a word you said.
Sorry, I said that like Twitter verification has lost its credibility. Like
You're still cutting out now. I don't hear what you say.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm out.
You're still cutting out. I don't know if it's just me or if it's anyone else in the audience hearing that.
No, I think she has a problem with internet, but no worries. Let me just continue. What she was asking is that Twitter verification, you know, has its lots of credibility. Because for the blue tick, anyone can pay now, right? If you have money, you can pay for the blue tick. So millions of business are suffering now. So do you have anything to say on it? Any comment on that?
Well, I don't, to be honest, I don't really care. I mean, what essentially the blue tick does now is it gives you that sense of authority for a few seconds. But then again, everyone who knows that anyone can pay to get it doesn't really matter. So definitely it took away from all the credibility. But I think also it's a very smart move from Elon Musk to be able to monetize and say, okay, well, everybody wants this shit, so why not just charge for it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a business, right? Elon Musk is just playing with the business. That's all, if we can say that, right?
For sure.
Okay, so yeah, for sure. So as you know, like we at Social Champ, we are a social media scheduling tool. So we are connected to a lot of all the social medias like Facebook, Instagram, but for now, no one is charging for the APIs. But Twitter is doing that. So what do you think is gonna have an impact on a lot of parties like us? And are a lot of people gonna back out and move to other platforms? Or what do you know something about that?
Well, I think I'm not the right person to ask that. I would turn it around and ask you, because you're a social platform. What are you going to do about it? I mean, are you going to pay for it? I mean, you have income, right? You make money on that platform. So I kind of reason with Elon Musk's reason for doing it, because if you make money off Twitter, why shouldn't they make money off you?
Yeah, I mean that makes sense if we talk about business only.
Yeah.
Okay, so and moving forward, let's say, what do you think about Mastodon? Is it a heavy competitor to Twitter? Is it a good alternative? Have you used it?
I have never heard of Mastodon. I don't know what that is.
Really?
Yes. So that says a lot, right?
Yeah, I mean, so we recently integrated Mastodon to us, so it's we think that it's mostly an alternative of Twitter, since Twitter is talking about so many integrations and so many, how would I say, so many possibilities on that. So we are just thinking to move to the Mastodon as well. But okay, let's move forward. What do you think about Discord community? Do you is it a good thing?
Again, a very, very wide question. I mean, I believe that every platform, whether it's Discord or I don't know, fucking Rumble or whatever it is, I think every platform has its own usability and its own customer base. And I think as long as you manage to use the platform in the right way, then any platform is usable, Discord included.
Okay, so what do you think that Discord would be the best fit for usage? Like, what's its uniqueness? Why should people use Discord to build communities, to build relations?
For sure, communities. I mean, Discord started kind of like a replacement for Skype. So I remember I was a gamer back in the days, right? And we would always just sit in Skype chats and talk to each other. And then Discord came up, and now you could talk on Discord because Skype became a paid service all of a sudden. So it went from this voice chat to suddenly becoming a whole community platform. So I think today the best thing is to run a community on it because it offers voice chat as well. I don't think Slack, for example, does that.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's talk about productivity now. I see you are a huge fan of Notions and you offer a lot of advice regarding it. So just tell our audience and our listeners, how can our listeners make the most out of such tools like Notions for their daily work?
My template. I think obviously it's a biased opinion because I sell templates, right? But I mean, if you want the optimal productivity workflow in whatever you do, whether it's business or personal life, go find a template that supports that. Don't I mean you can build it yourself, but then again, we're back at productivity. If you're looking to optimize your time, do you really want to spend 12 hours building a template when you could just buy it? So I would say find a template that fits your workflow and then optimize that.
Okay. And what about okay, Notion is a do you have more what do you have to say about more productivity or project management tools such as Trello, Asana? What about them? Are they effective?
They probably are. It's not something that I can talk about. I personally don't use them, have never used them. I think personally, there's no reason to use all these tools when you can use Notion because essentially these tools are very limited in what they allow you to do. While Notion is kind of like, it's not a productivity tool, it's a toolbox of productivity tools. So essentially, everything that you get from these other apps, you can build that in Notion. And then add more to it. So I would never use any other tool but Notion.
Okay, that makes sense. And what do you think about Product Hunt? Is it a good space to start your product? I see you've written a lot of guides on Product Hunts and how to be the product of the day. So what about Product Hunt?
For sure, for sure. I mean, Product Hunt is, if you look at it from a marketing perspective, which I do, and marketing is essentially eyeballs converts to customers, gets you paid, right? And if you think about it, Product Hunt is just free traffic for your offer or your product or your service. So if you do not consider Product Hunt as something you would do, then you're just wasting money, like you're flushing money down the toilet because Product Hunt has a dedicated community of people just waiting to see a cool product that they can buy. So there is no reason not to launch on Product Hunt.
All right. So, like I've also launched a few of the products, and what I see that it's very difficult to reach to maintain the five product of the day or to go up the ladder because there are so many fake comments, fake profiles come for the other products. So what's the tool or what's the technique to be safe from that?
Preparation is the keyword here. I mean, I don't think you should consider other people getting upvotes. You should just focus on how you can get the most upvotes. And that's essentially what Product Hunt is about. It's about upvotes. That's literally the key. So you have to find a strategy, like one of the strategies I tell you about in my guide, to get as many upvotes as possible. And you want to make sure that you get it from the get-go. Many people I talk to, what they do is they launch in the middle of the day. So for those of you who don't know, Product Hunt is a launch platform that features products for 24 hours, so a full day, right? And one guy was launching, and he launched in the middle of the day, and he sent the Product Hunt to me, and I said, dude, what are you doing? Why are you launching in the middle of the fucking day? He was like, oh, I don't know. It just felt right. And I'm like, okay, so you have 24 hours of visibility, but you chose to only get 12 hours. That's just a waste of visibility, no? So if you launch and you launch right away, so you get the full 24 hours, then the most important thing is for you to get upvotes from the get-go. You want upvotes right away. That way you will secure a top placement right when you begin. And that will allow you to get a lot of organic traffic, because mostly when people go to Product Hunt, they just pick the top products and they check those out. So if 1 hour after launching, you're already at the top, then I'll guarantee you, you'll stay at the top.
All right. So do you have any, like, do you suggest that we should keep the time in the mind, that we should specifically launch at the particular time to get maximum reach and upvotes?
Yeah. As I just said, you should launch right away. You should launch at the, when all the products go live, that's when you should launch. You should not launch after that.
All right. Neha, you can take the next question.
Okay, so do you think that individual profile at Product Hunt like has some value? It should be like have a streak or something into like in daily activity or something to get engaged with that?
To be honest, no. A lot of people, they say, oh, but you need followers and Product Hunt. You need to be active in the community. And I mean, it's great, but in my opinion, after launching 50 products, I don't see a difference. So one time I launched, I'd been inactive for like 14 days, not been on Product Hunt. Then I launched and I hit product one of the day. So no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't.
Yeah, fair enough. Like we have noticed that when you get like regularly and make streak on Product Hunt, people connected you just for upvotes. You didn't get the like opportunity to like get in launch for the product and the audience for your product, but it's just for the upvotes. So what do you think, like does Common do something in that, like in launching? Because we have seen that our product was kind of down, but in the day end, it goes quickly like up. So was it about comments or upvotes, fake comments thing?
No, it's all about upvotes. It's nothing more than upvotes. That's the key.
Okay. Cool. And what do you feel like if we talk about productivity? So what is your huge advocate about Notion?
What do you mean?
Like, what do you offer for advice for online regarding Notions and no-code tools?
Depends. What do you mean, advice on what?
Like, you market your work on Twitter. Like, we have seen that you give paid courses and guides and bundles. So what do you think, that what is a main thing that attract people to get your paid things, and like what's the content which is like unique and attracts people?
That's a tough question to answer. I'm not exactly sure what you mean. I mean, you can go through the profile I have and you can see that's the type of content. Can you get a bit more specific with that question?
Specifically, how do you get into it? Like, you have taken a start from somewhere, no? So how do you started it, and what was your interest about it?
So I mean the beginning of any online business is building an audience. I would say I'm a big believer in organic marketing, and I believe that if you have an audience, opportunities will come to you. You can get brand deals, brand sponsorships, you can get fucking you can sell products, you can sell service, you can do anything as long as you have an audience. So I would say the whole foundation of everything that I do and that I would recommend to anyone else is essentially building up an audience.
So for organic marketing, what do you think that your content should be or like specific about your product, or your content should be anything that attracts audience?
I mean, it depends. It depends. If we're talking Notion creator business, you don't want to just talk about your product because that's spammy. Like, imagine you. I mean, for brands, that can work if they have a product and brand value. They can talk just about the product and how people use it. But if you're trying to build an audience, people are not going to follow you just for your product. They're going to follow you if you provide value to them.
Yeah, exactly. Like what we see on TikTok and other platforms, they are making different content to bring their brand name in the market. They didn't have their like the product they are selling, the content related to that. So it was just like they make the diff like funny videos and memes just to collect the audience from these different platforms. So, what do you think the most powerful social media for getting the organic marketing?
Again, that there is no answer to that because it depends what you're trying to do. If you're trying to build an audience on TikTok, then TikTok is super good for organic because it just pushes your content. If you're a great writer, then Twitter is the same, but another format. So it really comes down to what your goals are, which platform to pick.
Okay, but Twitter sooner or later going to change their laws and about posting what we used to do like in threads and people get interacted with that. So we just got to know that sooner is going to end like that. So do you think there would be any alternate for that?
I don't think we have to look at alternatives like other platforms. I think with changes comes just new possibilities. So let's say they remove threads tomorrow and they introduce essays. We just have to write essays instead, and then everyone would train themselves to write great essays to get followers. I mean, you just need to be able to adapt with whatever changes come.
Yeah, fair enough. That's we can say that we have to just adjust in every possibility we get.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. And what do you think that what are your uniqueness about your courses and guides? Because they are we have seen that you have so many followers and people are liking your content. So what is the uniqueness you think that you have bought from the other people or other companies doesn't have and people are engaging towards you?
I think it's two things because one thing is the products and the courses I offer, the other one is the content I offer. And if we just break down each of them, starting with the content, I would say I try specifically to differentiate myself by including my own personality, right? So I'm very, in real life, I'm very hype, I'm very provocative, I'm very outgoing. And I try to include that in every post I write. So that's why you'll sometimes see funny comments and shit. And I think that's what makes me stand out in a crowded market. One guy with wrote me the other day and he said, "I have 15 years of marketing experience and what you're doing is just nice." And I said, "Well, can you elaborate on it on that? Just to get some detail, right?" And he said, "Every time I see a post from you, I know it's a Passio post." And I think that speaks pretty well for what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to stand out. So when you see a post that comes from my profile, you know immediately that's from Passio. And I think that's brand value. And I've worked hard to try and build that, I would say. In terms of products and specifically courses, I offer two courses on how to build a Notion business, like I did. One is like a $19 one, which is just a short introduction. And the other one is like a
Yeah.
full-blown, I don't know, 100, 200-page course. Essentially, what I did here is when I started, I took another course as well, which was just a simple introduction. And I was so disappointed. I was like, oh, this is it. But I took that knowledge and I built on top of it. And I said, okay, well, how can I learn from that? And I took it and put it to use and built a business around it. So essentially, I wanted to be different when I made my first course, which is like the super long, expensive course. And what I tried to do here to be different is I tried to integrate one-to-one coaching in this course. So when you read the course, it's kind of like I'm sitting right next to you, trying to instill the right mindset and coach you. And I think a lot of people who read that guide, I see some of the people in here have actually bought that guide, and the response has been incredible. I think that's what separates it. Many guides, specifically on Notion creation, is essentially just create a template, launch on product on. What I try to do is I try to take you through every single step. So I say, okay, well, you've got to launch on product on, but what does that entail? Well, let's break down how a product on post should look. And then I go through it step by step. So in that regard, my guide is very, very detailed. And I think that makes us stand out from every other guide, which is just a brief overview.
Yeah, that's perfect because we can see in your bio that you have quit your 9 to 5 and built your personality. And even you haven't any pictures on your social media, but you have sent a benchmark for the people who wanted to become the entrepreneur and want to work for themselves. So you must have set a benchmark for them.
What do you mean a benchmark?
Benchmark as an example for the other people.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. That's what I try to do. I mean, I try to inspire people and tell them that one, if I had to give one advice to the people listening here, limiting self-beliefs is the killer of dreams. And it sounds so cliché. But what you tell yourself in your mind is going to become your reality. So if you think that making money is hard, then making money is hard. If you think being an entrepreneur is hard, then it's going to be hard. The way that I shifted my mindset from this was essentially I told myself that, and I have this from Stoicism, that we as human beings are all the fucking same. Of course, we're different. But essentially, we all have the same abilities. So let's say I want to run a marathon, or I want to beat Usain Bolt's sprint record. If I really, really wanted this, if I really wanted to beat that record, I could do it. I just had to train more than Usain Bolt, then I could accomplish the same shit. Or take, let's say, Elon Musk. If I wanted to build a rocket company, if I just dedicated my time and my willpower to do that, there is no reason that I can't do it. Because I'm no different from Elon Musk. He's a human being. I'm a human being. None of us are gods. None of us are special in any way. What really just separates us is who puts in the work. And that means if I see someone making money online, I can do that too. I just have to put in as much or more work than he does. And this is kind of the message that I'm trying to convey to everyone. If you see someone doing something and you want to do the same, stop telling yourself it's hard. Stop telling yourself that that guy is special. He's not special. He's like you and me. When you realize that you have every single ounce of power inside of you that you need because you are human, and the rich guy, he's also human, that makes you no different from him. If you realize that, then all you have to do from there is put in the work. That's the key. That's the real key.
That's truly amazing. I must say that we all are impressed with this. Moving toward the questions I wanted to ask about, social champ as a scheduling social media platform. So do you think scheduling helps in engaging the customers, over simply or organically posting and scheduling the post according to the timings we have engagement and all?
Yes. Let me tell you right now, you cannot. I'm just talking for Twitter because I don't know about other social media platforms, but you cannot build a Twitter audience if you don't schedule your posts. Let me tell you that right now. The reason you can't do that is the ideal amount of posts to do every day is between 2 to 4. That's a lot of tweets. Now, let's imagine you have to build an audience and you have to build a business on the side. So you sit down to create a product for your business or brainstorm or whatever the fuck it is. At the same time, you have to build your Twitter audience. So now you have to spend the brain power to think of 4 tweets. You have to literally sit down and say, how can I create 4 engaging tweets right now? That will probably take a bunch of time. Now imagine you have to do this every single fucking day. You will be wasting so much time. When you schedule your posts, what you do instead is you sit down on a Sunday and you say, okay, I have to create 3 posts a day for the next week. That's 21 posts. When you start creating the first post, then the other posts come naturally. And before you know it, in a few hours, you'll have 20 posts created. And then you just schedule them and you don't think about Twitter the rest of the week. Now you can dedicate that time to something that actually matters, like creating a product or marketing or engaging on Twitter. So I would say you cannot, or you can, but you should not build an audience without scheduling your tweets on Twitter.
That's a very great answer. So now I would like my co-host to like, yeah, I would like my co-host to just continue from here and ask you different questions about that.
Hi. So just a couple of questions left. While you were just saying that all the inspirational about Elon Musk and how we are same but the different at the same time, that was very inspirational and overwhelming. So here comes my question that I saw that you are just 25 years guy who quit his 9 to 5 job and you started working on it. So over the past 1 year, I'm assuming that it was not an easy road. It was not an easy journey. You created a lot of profiles, connections. So just tell our audience how was the journey for you so far? How did you became from 9 to 5 white collar person to a person who is earning so much? How was your journey?
Thanks for that question. So let's just take 1 minute and stop saying the word hard. I just want to get that out of everyone's vocabulary. Yes, in parentheses, it was hard, but I don't think of it as hard. I think of it as fun. And when the hard things that you have to do becomes fun, then you do more of that stuff. And if you do all the hard stuff, you're going to see. Give me a sec. All right, I got it. So if you make the hard stuff fun, right? Let's say you have to go and take a run. That's not fun. We all know that. It's hard as fuck. But you can convince your mind to anything you want. So if you say that run is going to be fun, bro, it's going to be fun, right? So essentially, this is the mindset that I set. I said, okay, well, I am fucking tired of working my 9 to 5. 1 year ago, I said that. And I was fed up. I came home tired every day. I was like, is this really life? And I knew that there were so many successful people that didn't have that as their life. So I was like, if they don't have to work a 9 to 5, why do I? Right? And so I decided, well, let me just see what this thing is, this notion business. Let me try and work on it. And I would come home from my job and I would think in the beginning, this is hard. I'm tired. I don't want to do this shit. But then I thought about the alternative. I can come home, I can watch Netflix and not do shit. And where will I be in a year from now? I will be in the same job, watching the same old Netflix movies, eating the same crap food. So I pictured it in my mind and I said, is this where I want to be next year? Fuck no. It's not where I want to be. So I said, I have to do something different. So I decided, and that's the first step. You have to decide, I'm going to do this no matter what. So I had the choice of saying, okay, I can potentially work a 9-to-5, come home, work on this shit for 5 years. But that would still be a better alternative than 50 years, right? So I thought, if I start now, it may take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. It doesn't matter. The alternative is doing this shit for 50 years. And that's not an option for me. It's not an option. And I know a lot of people out there, you feel the same. Do you really want to work a 9-to-5? Do you really want to retire at 70 years old and have a little bag of money and live your life for 10 years before you die of some fucking heart disease? Is that really life? And I know you know it's not. And some people, they say, well, I've been doing this for 40 years. It's all there is. Now we're back at the limiting self-beliefs, right? Because if you've been doing this shit for 40 years, you have spent the last 40 years convincing yourself that this is all there is. And you're never going to change that unless you choose to change that. So it all starts in the mind saying, I can do this shit. Because if anyone else can do it, why can't I? I'm also human. You're also human. So we're back to the same thing again. So I think my journey has been a journey of choice, a journey of saying, what is the alternative?
Wow, that's really very nice to you to say. So it all comes down to have a mindset, like a growth mindset. If you have a growth mindset, then you can achieve anything. So let's say if you have a growth mindset, like I have a growth mindset, but I do not have a certain skill. So what do you think about the learning skills, learning about these tools, exploring self? Do you think all the humans have in it that they can learn anything they want?
Yes, I certainly think so. I think some people, let's say you're raised in, let's say your parents were plumbers, right? And you're raised fucking using your hands for shit. And you think, well, I'm never going to learn coding because my family has taught me to use my hands. Again, that's a limiting self-belief. You were taught that you cannot code because you're not that type of person. But it comes down to the same point. If someone else can do this, you can do it too. You just have to invest enough time. So let's say you want to learn coding, right? You've never coded a single line in your life. Well, if you just, and I promise you this, and you can sue me for this if I'm wrong. But if you dedicate the next 10 years of your life to read coding books, to write coding scripts, I guarantee you in 10 years, you can code better than any coder out there. All it takes is the decision to say, I can do this. And then it takes the work that you put in afterwards. So I believe anyone can learn anything from anyone.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's just, I think, wrap it up here and ask our listeners if they have any questions they want to ask from you. So guys, if you have any questions, just drop in the comments and I'll ask him. Or we can see it together.
I would suggest another thing. I would suggest if you throw out invites, you can make me a co-host as well. Throw out invites to everyone in here. And whoever wants to come on and ask me a question and have a conversation, I would love to talk to you and say hi. So request to come on and talk and we could do that.
I have invited you as a co-host. And let's see.
I'm just going to throw out, I do this on all the spaces I do. I just throw out invites to all of you. If you don't want to talk, just ignore it. If you want to talk, just accept it. Come on, ask a question. I'll be happy to answer literally anything you want. I'm just inviting everyone.
Okay, so we have a question. He says, I'm crypto trade, but I'm always lose money. I want to change business. Me, Martaba. Yeah.
I think that's a very good choice because you have to be able to learn from yourself. And if you can see that you're losing money, is that really a good business to be in? I don't think so. So yeah, change business, bro.
Okay, so till then we are not having any question. I have a question from you, like how hashtags matters on your post trending and how it gets engagement.
Don't use hashtags. That's all I have to say. The reason I say it is on Instagram, hashtags work great. On Twitter, hashtags is a thing of the past. All hashtags do on your post is make it look spammy. It doesn't give you any more reach. It only makes your post seem low quality. So don't use hashtags, never.
Okay, so like you have used Twitter to promote your business. How effective do you think Twitter is as a marketing tool, and what other social media platforms do like to find you find useful for reaching your audience?
So I think every social media platform is useful in its own way. Preferably Twitter is the best for me because I like writing. I promote my stuff once in a while. And I get a few sales from that. But I think the major impact that Twitter has for my business is basically the authority, right? So if someone comes to my product and they find my Twitter, they see, okay, well, this guy has 50K followers. I can probably trust him and you can trust me. But that really adds to your credibility. On the other hand, if someone comes to my profile and see I have 50K followers and they then check out my product, they're like, okay, but this guy is also credible. So I think credibility and authority is the most important thing, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a must thing. But you, like you have a huge engagement on your Twitter account, you have so many followers. So how do you handle online criticism or conflict? And do you think Twitter is a useful platform for engaging all these kind of debates?
Yes and no. I don't. So if I'm met with criticism, of course, if it's constructive criticism, I learn from it. But again, there is so much negativity because it's so easy to just hide behind a screen and write whatever fuck shit you want to write, right? But I think engaging in that shit is not worth the energy that you have to spend, because now you're reading a negative comment and you have to think, what can I reply to this? And all the energy you spend on that, you could spend making more money. So what do you want? Do you want to waste your energy or do you want to get rich? You know what I mean? So I think it's a energy transfer you have to consider. That's one thing. The other thing is, do you really want to engage with your business brand in negative conversation? Like, let me ask you this. Would you buy an iPhone if you saw the Apple YouTube channel respond to a comment, oh, you're being rude, we don't like you talking like this to us, please stop? Would you, I mean, wouldn't that take away from the credibility? So, I mean, my answer to that would be don't engage in that shit.
Fair enough. You shouldn't be. Well, we have a few questions and chat. I would like to add Kulsoom to take over from here and ask the questions we have in chat.
We have also, a listener coming on the stand.
Okay. Before we take the listener, can you answer this question? So Entrepreneur Talk, he asked that I'm looking to differentiate between certificates and AI skills. So this is a question for you.
But what's the question?
I'm looking to differentiate between certificates and AI skills.
So that's not a question. That's a statement. I don't understand.
Can you elaborate a little bit and then Tassio can answer it for you? Meanwhile, you can take the speaker if you have any. Okay, so we have another question. Mazamal Hassan, he says that I have a background in wildlife and ecology, but I wanted to pursue copywriting as a career. What's your opinion about it?
Yes. I mean, you do you, bro. If you want to make a career switch, why not? You know what I mean? Like, we're back at the same thing again. If you really want to do copywriting, there is no reason you cannot do it. I would say just go fucking learn copywriting, read some books, go on Twitter, build a nice profile, go DM people and say, yo, I want to do copywriting for you. Let me write you 5 emails for free. If you like them, you can hire me. That's how you get a client. So you could be a copywriter from next week if you really just decide to do it.
Thank you. I think that's the questions we are getting in. Do you have something as a closing notes or something you want to say before we part ways?
Yeah, I just want to give the two people here as listeners a chance to ask questions now that they're here.
Yeah, sure. Let's get them. Okay, so Entrepreneur Talks, you can go ahead and mute yourself and ask your question.
Oh, thank you so much, Social Champ, for this opportunity. I actually asked a question earlier considering the difference between certificates and AI skills, because from this part of the world I come from, Nigeria, this is a very serious issue. Career talk has been moving on, but most people believe that they really need to obtain degrees and certificates so as to move to the next level of having incomes, sustaining themselves, and having a good livelihood. And we find that today, without the certificates, degrees, people are actually learning AI skills and are actually getting the money. They're getting the rewards for all these things. So I wanted you to give me a forward, like from where I come from, where they always respect more of certificates and degrees in most institutions, but actually those really making the money from private sector and contracts are those with AI skills, who have obtained AI skills, who don't really have any certificates. So I want you to give me a forward, give me a philosophy. What do you think? Should we keep promoting certificate degrees, or we should keep promoting certified AI skills? I need you to give me something on that. Thanks.
Hey, man, that's a great question. Let me answer it this way. You know what else is a certificate? An education. You know who cares about education? Employers. You know who doesn't care about education? People who have a problem that you can solve. So my answer is this. Certifications is cool and shit if you're trying to get a job. But that's not what I promote. I promote the opposite. I promote building a business. And I believe that no matter if you're from Africa, from Southeast Asia, from fucking Europe, it doesn't matter. If you can solve a problem for someone, then you can make money. That's what it essentially is about. So I don't believe you need certificates, even though it may be the custom or it may be valued by some people. I believe if you have the skills and you are able to prove to someone, I have the skills to solve your problem, then you can get money. It's that simple, in my opinion.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We have another speaker. He wants to ask a question. Big Ambitions, you can unmute yourself and ask your question. Thank you. Big Ambition, are you there with us? Okay, I think he is not here. So I have a question in the comment section that do you find an issue with monetizing OpenAI?
I mean, as long as you're not, as long as you're not breaking the use policy that OpenAI's AI sets, no, I don't see a problem with it. I mean, do you see a problem with monetizing Google or Facebook or Twitter? If you can make money off something and you're not breaking any laws, why not? No reason not to.
That's true. I hope we answered everyone's question, and I think that's it. I thank you so much, Basio, for doing this with us, and I really enjoyed having a career space with you. If you have anything to say, you're most requested. Oh.
Sure, man. Thank you for hosting this space. And yeah, on a final note, I just want to tell everyone out here that if you're listening to this space and you have some sort of similar dream to me, decide right now that you can do it. I'm just a regular guy. I'm not special. I'm not a prodigy. I'm not anything that you are not. So if I can do it, you can do it too. That's all I want to say.
Well, thank you so much for that inspirational ending notes. Have a great day, Pasio, and thank you so much for once again for doing this with us.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Take care.